Support for the Source Podcast comes from UT Health San Antonio, South Texas' largest academic research institution, where what is discovered in its labs translates into life-changing patient care. More at groundbreakingresearch.org.
Live from the John L. Santico Studio in downtown San Antonio, this is The Source from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. The San Antonio International Airport continues to see increased passenger travel, and while the city is moving forward with a $2.5 billion expansion plan. Airlines are adding flights, and new direct flights are coming online, with many eyes watching the process to bring a Washington, D.C. direct flight to San Antonio. And there is a legal squabble over the plan for Terminal C and if there's room for Southwest Airlines at the gates. Join us to explain what's happening at the airports and how to amend and improve your experience. We're joined by Jesus Sainz. He is the Director of Airports at the San Antonio International Aviation Department. Jesus Sainz, welcome to The Source.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Tim O'Cronley. He is the Aviation Director Development for the City of San Antonio's Aviation Department. Tim O'Cronley, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And joining us is Jacob Tyler, and he is the Air Service Administrator for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department. And Jacob Tyler, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
And our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment about the airport, your experience, what you think the airport needs and what it doesn't need, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. So, Jesus Sainz, as the director of the airport, we're seeing lots of plans for a whole new development. Soon, they'll be breaking ground for Terminal C before the end of the year. Is that right?
That is correct. We're looking forward to begin the final portion of all the hard work that has been performed by many individuals within the airport system with regards to the construction of a new terminal complex that also has included into that a number of different enabling projects. So as you drive into the airport today, you will already experience some construction work, but we apologize in advance because we're going to get after it here shortly. Sometime in early December, we plan to have the groundbreaking ceremony for all the development of a brand new terminal complex.
This terminal complex, Terminal C, a $1.5 billion airport terminal, is the centerpiece of the whole new reimagining and development of the airport. What's going to be at Terminal C?
The new Terminal C will be exciting. We have plans to not only build out a 800+ thousand square foot facility that will have up to 17 gates with a true sense of place of San Antonio as it relates to the design standards that have been established as we begin to move forward on the design. We're currently, 40 to 50% on the design of the new terminal complex. So we're working with our master architect and the construction manager at risk to continue to move forward. It's not only on the new terminal, but we also have plans to do work on existing Terminal B and existing Terminal A to create transformations of those two terminals so that the entire complex will have a full transformational effect that all of our passengers will enjoy when they visit our San Antonio International Airport.
Well, clearly, looking at the numbers of people who use the airport and how those numbers continue to grow, we can tell that the demand continues, and can we say, Jacob Tyler, Air Service Administrator, that demand now is probably showing that we need to make these improvements?
Yeah, absolutely. It's something that we've needed for a long time, and we're excited that we're actually going to see the result of that soon. The airport's been growing significantly in the past couple years, and post-pandemic even more. So it's definitely something that's needed.
But we're seeing month-over-month growth of of passenger travel at San Antonio?
17 months consecutive in a row.
That's something that a lot of airports cannot say. So, I mean, you may want to say, well, all airports are growing. It seems significantly that San Antonio is outstripping what other airports are seeing.
Yeah, that's true. If we look at 2023, we had a record-breaking year ahead of 2019, obviously. Most airports in the country of our size did not break 2019 records. So we are moving pretty quickly.
And are these mainly leisure travel? Is this business travel? What do you see? What's driving San Antonio's travel growth?
It's a strong mix, to be honest, in San Antonio. We have a lot of people that live here, more and more people moving here that are traveling for business and then also for leisure. But we also have a very strong convention market. We're a big tourist destination, so we see a lot of people coming into San Antonio also.
And Tim O'Connelly, aviation director, we're seeing all these activity with flights and flights expansions and demand that the airports are having to step up and increase. Are they able to do that? Or is the airport maxed out?
No. In fact, we just concluded a master plan a couple years ago, and that was really kind of the key focus, was San Antonio's current location really the right location going forward in the future. And that was a key question. It was answered with a resounding yes. The physical layout of the airport, where we're at, will be where the airport will be for the next, 40, 50 years. And so the master plan was developed around that concept. So everything we're doing from that strategic plan, that master plan to actually build out the physical facility, we'll keep that in mind. And we're in a good place to keep serving San Antonio. We're in a great location close to downtown, pretty unique for a lot of airports. And it actually serves us well and is an advantage for us.
All right, having the airport close to the city center, not far from downtown, that's a plus for traveling the city for conventions and things like that. You don't have to think about, a lot of airports are way out in the boonies from their city center, but not San Antonio.
Right, and you can utilize the existing infrastructure that the city's already put in, continues to put in. You look at the developments on 410, I-10, 35. Those are all things that help us and, directly with the airport as well, moving passengers north of us, west, east, and south of San Antonio to come in and use us. We're a regional facility as an airport. We not only serve San Antonio, but it's all the areas around us.
All right. And so, Jesus Sainz, do you see that growth numbers continuing to climb? They always say, you can't grow a tree to the moon. Trends can only take you so far. Where do you see the trends going?
Well, early on, as we were coming out of the post-COVID pandemic, we established a strategic plan to begin to effectuate the plans that we needed to put into play to prepare ourselves, whether that was on the development side, as Tim has mentioned, or whether that was on the business side as it relates to air service development, as Jacob has mentioned. And we've been able to execute upon those, both of those. So we've been very fortunate on that strategic plan to continue to execute on a number of different of initiatives and activities that are helping us to continue to propel forward. Now, it certainly helps that San Antonio is the fastest growing city in the United States. It helps that the corridor between San Antonio and Austin is one of the fastest growing corridors in the entire United States. So all of those contributing factors, jobs, household, population, play a factor. So we continue to work towards providing an excellent level of service. And we're seeing our prices and our flights go down. We're seeing that people wanting to use our airport more and more is creating that stimulation into our overall market share. So we are sustaining, as Jacob mentioned earlier, 17, 18 months of continued growth is just something that we're going to continue to see.
All right, and we're going to continue this conversation. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. We'll keep talking about the San Antonio International Airport's plans for growth and development, groundbreaking coming up by the end of the month. And you can call in with your questions and comments, 833-877-8255. The Source continues right after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the what's happening at the San Antonio International Airport this holiday season, as a lot of people go traveling, flying off, flying into San Antonio. What's that experience going to be like? And into the future, as the city is preparing for a groundbreaking for Terminal C, which many are saying is the future of San Antonio air travel. If you've got a question or a comment, give us a call. The number is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. Jesus Sainz, a director of airports for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department. So if Terminal C is going to be the future of San Antonio air travel, it's going to be really nice, big, wide concourse, lots of space for amenities, lounges, great experience, art of San Antonio. Southwest Airlines is wondering, you know, there's no room for them in Terminal C. I know they have filed suit with the City of San Antonio. There's a court date coming up in December to see whether or not your guys will be able to work something out or not. But Southwest Airlines said that you had promised them personally, Jesus Sainz, that they would be able to go to Terminal C. What happened with that?
Yeah, I can't really speak about that because we're in litigation. So I will tell you, we continue to work hard with all of our carriers to try and do all possible to ensure that we're providing a good level of service to everyone, and we continue to work with all of our carriers as we continue to move forward. So that's as much as I can tell you right now, because there is a lawsuit in place, so I can't speak to that.
What's been offered to Southwest, as I understand it, this is, well, you can have Terminal A, and Terminal A, as we know, has a very narrow concourse. It also has had some infrastructure issues with cooling and air conditioning and heating and other maintenance issues. So you're promising Southwest that millions of dollars will flow into Terminal A to really bring that up to a level of something that they could be proud of. Is that it?
Yeah. Our investment is to the entire airport terminal complex. We're continuing to work hard to elevate and transform the entire airport terminal complex, whether that be, you know, before you come into the terminal and all the way, as we call, curb to gate and gate to curb. So we're working to ensure that our level of service that we're providing to all of our passengers is the best. And we are transforming the entire airport terminal complex to prepare it for the future. As Tim mentioned, we have a terminal development program with a master planning effort that reflects what the airport's going to look like as we continue to expand and grow.
So the last number I heard was $200 million that might go into Terminal A for upgrades. And then Southwest came back and said, we want an engineering evaluation to see if that's even enough money to do what needs to be done to improve Terminal A without even committing. That's what they're going to do. Has there been some sort of evaluation?
No, sir. We have not finalized that. And as I mentioned, it's under litigation, so we can't speak about it.
So Southwest Airlines has been seen as it's 40% of the travel at the San Antonio International Airport. A lot of people, I think it's going through a lot of changes itself. You know, the board of directors are changing. The head is changing. The way they do things are changing. So it just kind of like wonders, like, people, the Southwest that we know, that they actually kind of started in San Antonio. It's, you know, as it is, it's something to be aware of, that Southwest is becoming a different kind of airlines. You know, do you want to?
We certainly can't predict what any of the carriers are doing. We work closely with all of our carriers to ensure that we are, you know, we build our relationships and work with them closely to match the level of service that they want to receive as they work in and out of our airports. And all of our customers, all of our carriers are our concern to ensure that we work closely with them.
Right, let's go to Jack on the phones. And Jack has a question. And Jack, you're on the air.
Hi, David. Thanks for taking my call. My question is regarding some transportation options at the airport. I know the airport's undergoing an expansion. But with the new Green Line coming online in 2027, what are some plans that the airport has for maybe improving public transit options to get to and from the airport from San Antonio? Thanks.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jack. So the Green Line is Via Metro's advanced rapid transit line that will be going up and down San Pedro, going from downtown to the airport and beyond. So Tim O'Cronley?
Yeah, we're working closely with VIA on that exact issue. And one of the projects that we have is what's called the Ground Transportation Center. And that was one of the enabling projects. What it is, you can think of it as a garage, a parking garage, because we certainly need new parking. But on the first level will be where all the commercial vehicles will go. So things like taxis, Ubers, Lyfts, public transportation, all in one consolidated facility for right now. And the thought behind that as well is we will have a separate entrance to get to that garage, which will alleviate some of the traffic congestion issues that we have right now in front of the terminals. So by pulling that commercial traffic off and putting in them in their own garage will alleviate kind of two problems: some of the congestion in front of the terminals and a faster, quicker service for the passengers in this consolidated facility. It'll be protected from the rain, you can put more vehicles in there, and it will provide a better option for VIA and other providers as well.
Whatever happened to that thing that was talked about with Elon Musk, the underground tunnel between the convention center and the airport? That's still...
I haven't been involved in any recent conversations with that.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has. I think it kind of goes the way a lot of Elon's thoughts go. Let's play a voicemail that we got from a listener.
My name is Joe, and I would like to know if there are discussions about adding a longer runway to allow for larger planes at the San Antonio Airport. And if so, are there plans incorporated into future terminals to allow for the different sizes required for those planes? Thank you.
All right, let's go back to Tim O'Cronley, the Aviation Deputy Director of Development for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department.
Yeah, great question. You know, we often think about the facilities as being more the public-facing, but certainly airfield is extremely important. That's how we do our main business, landing and taking off airplanes, as Jesus says all the time. Right now, in the master plan, kind of prove this out, our current runways can accommodate any of the aircraft that we are potentially getting right now. You know, we just brought in Condor. They're landing fine in our current markets. Do we have the ability to grow it? Yes, we can. But a lot of that would be predicated on the demand and the markets that we would ultimately serve. The airfield will go through some improvements over the next several years, just your traditional maintenance. But there are projects that are in the master plan to grow the airport on the air side. In the new terminal, the new FIS, or Federal Facilities for Customs, will accommodate larger wide-body aircraft. We have gates specifically for that, so we've kept that in mind. That will be another service enhancement for the customers and our airline partners.
And so, Jacob Tyler, what's being done inside the airport to make it feel like San Antonio? When people fly in and when they leave San Antonio, it's an opportunity to make an impression on people and help shape what they think about the city. So stacking it with local art and visuals and just the vibe of San Antonio. How do y'all do that?
I know it's really important to us. I'll actually pass that back over to Tim because he has more vision on that.
All right. So Tim.
So part of the design of the new terminal and what we'll carry throughout, like Jesus said, in the renovations, is really a couple different things. The city was very clear. City leadership was very clear. They wanted to focus on a couple things. Sense of place for San Antonio, and that's, you know, how do you define that? And they did a good job, I think, of doing that. Accessibility and sustainability. And so the any renovations, we will keep those in mind. We have design standards. And at the highest levels, you know, we want somebody to come to San Antonio and feel like you're in San Antonio. Well, how do you define that? You know, we're not as easily defined as someplace like Nashville where you can kind of gravitate toward music. So the new terminal is
or really Vegas, you just have slot machines.
Yeah, exactly.
This isn't a concourse.
So what we're focusing on is really something that we can all agree on that makes up San Antonio and the region is the outdoors. So one of the big primary features that you'll see immediately when you get into the new terminal is right now, you know, you come on the roadway and you immediately are able to walk into the terminal. We're going to have what's called a paseo, and there'll be about 60 feet between the curb front and the actual start of the building. And there'll be like a dry creek. You'll have remnants of architecture of bridges connecting the two, like we have bridges on the Riverwalk, the parks, and stuff like that. We're bringing a nature feel to that. that also gives us a lot of opportunities for sustainability. For example, you know, water is a valuable resource here. It's a great part of our life. Well, airports produce a lot of wastewater, gray water. It'll give us opportunities from a sustainability standpoint to reuse that to support another feature like that Paseo. And then accessibility within this program. We want this to be a barrier-free airport for all users, and we've taken a lot of steps towards that. So keeping all that in mind, I think this will be a really unique and great place for San Antonio to be proud of.
Also, I've seen at the airport highlighting the city's history of aviation has also been something that's been, you know, you get a chance to experience and educate people who may not know that.
Yes, San Antonio's got a great history, you know, not only at San Antonio National, but at Stinson. You know, they're part of our system as well. Second oldest airport in the country. Amazing history happened at Stinson. You've had presidents that were there, you know, famous aviators, the Stinson family themselves, pioneers in aviation. So San Antonio enjoys a rich history of aviation, and, you know, you'll see all that incorporated in what we do today and, you know, probably some of that stuff in the future as well.
And at the actual airport was Alamo Field during World War II, was part of the defense of the country. Flights flew out from that field to patrol the Gulf, yep. Looking for submarines and things. It was has a history of its own, of yep. our military city.
And you'll see that reflected in the design. We're very proud to be Military City USA.
And so, you know, creating that vibe, Jesus, do you think that's also part of the airport's job, selling San Antonio?
Absolutely. I mean, the way we review the airport is we're the first thing you see and the last thing you see when you enter and exit out of the airport and as you enter and exit out of the city. So it's our responsibility to match the entire vibe, the look, the feel of the airport complex to the rest of the city. So we've gone through efforts, whether that be in the design standards that we've established or whether that is the new food establishments that we're bringing into the airport complex that matches the city's, you know, overall...
Our culinary experience.
Absolutely. The city of gastronomy and what we do with the work that we do across the entire city. So we are matching those elements in the airport. As the airport is the economic engine of the city, we're growing it from an air service development standpoint. We're growing it from a development standpoint to add additional gate and additional capacity so our carriers can continue to grow.
So the airport, I mean, as an economic engine, yes, but also it could also be an economic choke point if it's not being done right. If you don't have a good airport, then that could hinder economic growth. You want to pick that up there? That's exactly what we're trying to avoid as San Antonio grows.
Yeah, as we look at the number of jobs, the population growth, the household growth, we have to make certain that we prepare that for the future. As we look at the airport and the way it is positioned today, it's important for us to have a constant overview of the overall performance, whether that be on the number of operations, the number of seats that we make available with our carriers, or the level of service that we're providing as people are coming in and out, not only for leisure, but as business continues to grow. We want that to continue to grow in our city. Before 2020, the economic impact of the airport was approximately $5.2 billion. Over the last 3.5-4 years, we've been able to increase that to over $7 billion as an economic impact to the city of San Antonio.
All right, we're going to continue our conversation about the San Antonio International Airport. I want to talk to you more about what's happening with bringing direct flights to Washington, D.C., to San Antonio Airport, why that's important, particularly for our military establishment that we have here. And we also have some more calls coming in. Sean, I will get you on the air when we come back from this break. The number to call in is 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. If you got a question or a comment about the San Antonio Airport and the flights that you want to take and your experience flying in and flying out. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. In a few minutes, we're going to be talking about how the state of Texas could finally be waking up that we need dependable commuter rail up and down I-35. But right now, we're talking about the San Antonio International Airport. If you've got a question or comment, give us a call, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. And let's go to Sean on the phones. And, Sean, you're on the air.
Yes, back in, like, 93, when Nashville, Tennessee opened up a hub for the Southwest Airlines, they offered a $48 one-way ticket to Nashville, and then on the return flight from Nashville, which was also $48, so $96 in total, you got a free round-trip ticket from Southwest Airlines. And I'm just wondering if maybe that would incentivize Southwest Airlines' new hub in San Antonio. And I'll just like to listen to your comments on that.
All right. Well, thank you for that call, Sean. So that's up to Southwest. They just set their ticket prices and their promotions, and are always kind of with new ideas on how to get people to book their flights. But, you know, the airport does work closely with the airlines and trying to make sure that they have a good experience working with the airport. But so Jesus signs right now, Southwest does not have a long-term contract with the airport. Is that right? Y'all are still in negotiations?
No, they do.
You're not month to month on the gates and things?
No, sir. They're providing service, you know, as a carrier here out of San Antonio. So we continue to work with them, and I'll keep it at that.
Okay. All right. So let me ask you, Jacob Tyler, about these direct flights that we do have coming in and out of San Antonio. They seem to be growing. We had the flight to Frankfurt. We now have a service directly to Monterey, Boston. These things are happening. So what's up with the direct flights?
So, yeah, it's a process to get these new nonstop flights, and it's a process that sometimes can take years. It can take decades even. Ultimately, it all comes down to data. So there's different data that we can see, but then we also work closely with community partners throughout the city, throughout the region, Visit San Antonio, Greater SATX, the different chambers, different government entities. The Mexican consulate is a huge provider of data for us that helps us land some new nonstop flights throughout Mexico. But ultimately, it's a decision by the airline. What we do is we help, you know, they have hundreds and hundreds of options they're looking at. And we go and we talk to them, and we make sure that San Antonio is at the top of their mind when they have available aircraft to do that. So we were very excited to have launched our first ever transatlantic flight this summer with Condor. Very happy that Condor decided to fly to San Antonio and offer our residents something they never had before, which is nonstop service to Europe. And we're really excited for them to come back for their second summer season on May 23rd.
So we had JetBlue. They had originally said that we're going to do direct flights from San Antonio to Boston. And then that stopped, and they said it was because not enough demand. But then Delta stepped up and said, we will gladly take that flight. So it really wasn't about not enough demand locally, because it was mainly about how JetBlue was dealing with its own issues across the country. Is that right?
So, yeah, JetBlue's restructuring a bit, going back to what their big focus has always historically been, which is the Northeast, where they're from. But we are very happy that, you know, Delta decided to come in and add the service to Boston. It's a huge market for us. And we're really excited that not many days went by without having nonstop service. So we work with all of the carriers. I've had over 60 meetings with airlines alone just this year. So we're constantly talking to airlines about expanding service. And Boston was one we were talking to multiple airlines about, and we're happy that Delta came in and is offering the service.
So right now, Jesus Sainz, director of the airport, San Antonio Aviation Department, is it, if I go for my holiday travels, is there going to be any kind of like a lot of red cones and problems getting in and out of the airport, or are things smooth?
Today, things are really, really smooth, and we really foresee that to be throughout the entire holiday season. We're excited about the increase in the number of employments, the number of passengers. The number of seats that we're going to have in the system is really exciting when we do year-over-year comparisons. So the team has done an incredible job of putting together what we call a concept of operations to prepare ourselves for the Thanksgiving holidays, for the winter holidays. Our best advice to all of our passengers is to arrive as early as possible, you know, at least an hour and a half if you're flying domestically, and at least 2 to 2.5 hours if you're flying internationally. So from our standpoint, we've got some brand new amenities that we're offering with our parking systems. We've got valet that's available. We've got an opportunity if you want to check in your bag in the parking garage, you can do that so you don't have to carry your bag from the parking garage to the ticket counters. We've got curbside assistance with all of our law enforcement personnel that will be working. To date, all will be smooth, and we will continue to work with everyone so that they can go be with their loved ones during the holidays.
How do you, I mean, we're talking about groundbreaking, lots of big projects, lots of renovations. So how do you do all that while still trying to, because it's not happening now. Okay, now everything's fine. But in a few months, the dirt's going to be flying over at the airport, I imagine, as well as the airlines. So how do you do both at the same time?
Well, really, it's all about if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And our most important element that we work on these days is putting those plans together, bringing together everyone that will be impacted, all of the stakeholders, whether that's our airlines, individuals, our federal agencies that work in and out of the airport, so that everyone understands the game plan that we're about to execute upon. We do have a lot of construction underway already today. We have the ground load facility that will be built by October of 2025. That's been in construction for, you know, several months now. So we plan to finish that at. That's right at the entrance of the airport. The transitioning of the overall parking optimization program went on over the last 30 days. So we've been working on that. We've got two taxiways that are currently under construction that we're working with our Federal Aviation Administration partners to ensure that the movement of aircraft are smooth. It's a lot of proactive, predictive planning that we put together, and we work closely with all of our stakeholders to ensure that everyone understands where all the moving pieces are.
And recently you just cut the digital ribbon on a new AI parking system. It sounds kind of intimidating, like, oh, AI, my parking. But, you know, I use a system like that every day here at the parking garage I go to, and it works like a charm. Once you're in, you're in. But then, I mean, do people need, should they go online and learn about it before they park there? Or what do you recommend then do to, in order to have a seamless experience?
Yeah, so if you're going to come to the airport, we've got a number of different media blitzes that we're going to be having to share the information with all of our passengers. We're going to be putting information up on our website here soon to ensure that everyone understands that. What I will share with you, as you come to the parking garages today, you no longer are required to grab a ticket. It's going to capture your information by your license plate. It's going to have that information available upon your exit. And it's going to know exactly how much you owe as you exit, whether you parked in valet, short-term, or long-term. Now, in addition to that, to make it easy, if you can go in, there's QR codes available throughout the entire complex for you to scan, put that information in. It's going to capture your license plate, and it's going to, as you mentioned, from an artificial intelligence standpoint, it's going to know exactly how long you stayed into our parking complexes, and it's going to automatically, if you provide the information, bill you as you're exiting, so the gate arm will go out, you will have be billed, and that's it. A very seamless transaction that provides for a very efficient way to ingress and egress our parking facilities.
Right. So if it works, everyone is on board and AI is running 100%, it should be just like driving in and driving out. I mean, how many times have I been stuck behind somebody who really couldn't get their credit card to go in the machine or really couldn't figure out how to make it work? And then the line starts piling up behind me. So this is something that could make expediting getting in and getting out of the airport.
A lot of information was tabulated and put together from the entire team as it relates to how much it took for each transaction time as we were looking at the utilization of tickets and how that information was being processed. And as we looked at, you know, integrating this new system, as we, you know, with mayor and council's approval, the city manager's support, and everyone helping, we were able to go and initiate a brand new parking optimization program. And that has really allowed us to move as quickly as possible to integrate these new systems that we're talking about, whether that's the valet, whether it's the bag system, a new reservation system, or as you mentioned, the Metropolis system, that really provides a less of a wait time for the passenger, which improves the overall level of service.
And Jesus Sainz, you were just named Airport Director of the Year by Airport Experience News. Congratulations for that.
Thank you.
What were they pointing out? Why did they pick you?
Well, it's quite simple when you look at the overall, you know, team. It's not just one person that makes this happen. As I received that award, the entire team is ahead of me. They are the ones that make it happen every day. We have 400 plus incredible team members that have been following and executing our overall vision and mission that has, as I mentioned earlier, a link to specific initiatives and activities that we wanted to accomplish in 2024, and we've been able to do that. And that comes on the heels of the entire team being named Business of the Year as it relates to everything we did the previous year in 2023. So a lot of good things, and that's a testament to the team that works there.
You think the city council gets it, that the airport needs to be, be a priority in order to lead San Antonio into a new era?
We could not have better support from our city council and mayor and the way they've been supportive of the work that we've been doing. Yes, sir, they do.
Jesus Sainz is the director of airports for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department, also joined here today by Tim O'Cronley. He is the aviation deputy director of development for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department. And Jacob Tyler is the air service administrator for the City of San Antonio Aviation Department. Thank you all three for coming in today and talking to us. And when we come back from the break, is Texas finally going to get on board for commuter rail up I-35? Stay with us. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A commuter rail connection between San Antonio and Austin and other Texas cities has long been a dream for many, but plans in the past have not been able to make it a reality. However, there are signs that the Texas state government might be realizing that a high-speed rail system connecting these economic hubs could be an economic driver for the state, and they might be ready to get on board. To tell us more, we're joined by Peter Licote. He is the president of the Texas Rail Advocates. And Peter, welcome to The Source.
David, thank you so very much. I appreciate the opportunity to speak with you.
So the Texas Department of Transportation has kind of always thought about their role and their job as to build highways, not about rail. Do you think that they're finally getting the idea, the message, that rail could be a problem solver for transportation in Texas?
Yes, we are starting to see some bright signs in the horizon. Of course, you have to realize that TxDOT really was not in the railroad business at all until it was spun off from the Texas Railroad Commission, and that was back in 2005. We were actually one of the primary stakeholders that pushed for a rail division, which was created in 2009. So we're still taking a lot of baby steps. You know, other states have had rail divisions for over a century, so we are at a bit of a disadvantage and we are on a learning curve. But some good signs. We've had some wins with some federal rail grants for upgrades on tracks, infrastructure, but really not the big dollars that other states have applied for in rail grants and received.
Well, you have to put in some of your own skin to before you can get those big federal dollars. And have we been doing that?
Actually, there was one attempt a few years ago in the legislature, but it was held up. That was going to be for about $180 million to put in the Rail Relocation and Improvement Fund that voters approved way back in 2005. You know, we have charted online on our website that we have missed out over $19 billion in federal rail grants in the last decade because we really were not prepared and ready to jump in.
So do you see a rail connection? We have rail connections now, but they're really, you know, not dependable. It's not really a commuter rail, something that is affordable, that is quick, dependable. Could that really happen in Texas, linking our cities, Houston to Dallas and from to San Antonio and Austin? Could that really happen?
Yeah, I think so. We're very optimistic about it. There is only the current Amtrak Intercity service in Texas. It's more of a skeletonized service. There's a round trip from San Antonio through Austin and Dallas up to Chicago. Each day, there's a three-day-a-week service that goes through San Antonio to the West Coast and New Orleans. And then there's the Heartland Flyer, which actually is something that TxDOT is involved in, and that is a one-daily round trip between Fort Worth and Oklahoma City. It's a partnered service between TxDOT and the Oklahoma Department of Transportation. And just to show how effective it is, this year the Flyer is going to take over 50,000 vehicles off of Interstate 35. And, you know, that's going to mean fewer accidents, fewer distracted drivers, better for the environment. I mean, I could go on and on about the benefits of that.
Right. Well, the benefits seem to be clear. It's just been difficult to get the lawmakers to realize that. We know that the car vendors have a strong lobby in the state. It's probably so do the people who pour asphalt. Is there an equal voice for people who want to get commuter rail? I mean, we just don't have the lobbying muscle.
It's starting to build. I think more and more people are realizing that passenger rail is a public service that takes vehicles off of roads. And, you know, there's been some pushback. Some folks say trains are money losing, but, you know, studies are showing roads don't make money either. Only half of the gas and the EV tax that we pay at the pump and when we plug in for a recharge covers road costs. So the rest is coming from general revenue and other sources. So and don't get me wrong, we've got to have good roads, good ports for commerce, good aviation services, good bike paths and sidewalks. But everything has a cost. And what do you want to do? Do you want to sit in traffic or do you want to have other modes of transportation?
So now we're seeing at least a bill filed as we gear up for the next legislative session. And, you know, any lawmaker can file bills, and some of them do just to make news. But so this one would allow the Texas Department of Transportation to bring high-speed rail to the I-35 travel corridor. Does this have legs?
Okay, you're probably referring to the two bills that Representative John Busey III from
House
Williamson
Joint
County.
Resolution 58.
Right, and that's going to be a constitutional amendment. Of course, you know, the legislature's got to give the nod of approval to put it on the ballot. But if they do, it'll let the public for the first time vote to authorize the use of money from the State Highway Fund for transit-oriented projects. So you would get a say to show how it's going to be distributed for other than highway projects.
Well, I mean, are you confident that voters would actually vote for that? You know, I mean, I'm not sure if they will. You know, if you ask them to vote on bike lanes, they'd probably vote against it as well.
Well, interestingly enough, I served on the I-35 Corridor Advisory Committee, and this goes back over a decade ago. And a study was commissioned by a research group at the University of Texas at the request of TxDOT. And it did show that an overwhelming majority of Texans that were surveyed, and there were about 2,000 people that were surveyed around the state, want more passenger rail service intercity between our cities, not only urban and regional, but also interstate as well. But they were willing, by a strong majority, to use tax dollars to pay for it. Now, that was back in 2011. You can imagine we've had a few more people move to Texas and a few more crowded roads since then. So that percentage might go up a couple points.
So why do you see as the economic benefit of doing something like this? How would that, because that would have to be a big part of the argument, having dependable. And we keep talking about high-speed rail. I just want rail, dependable commuter rail that would, you know, I don't have to go 150 miles an hour. I'd be happy just going 50 miles an hour up and down I-35 because that's faster than I go now. So, you know, how do we get there? You know, how do we make that happen?
Well, there are a couple of things in work right now that TxDOT has on their plate. There's called what's called corridor identification grants. These are assigned by the Federal Railroad Administration, and it came out of the infrastructure bill. TxDOT is now working on the scoping for San Antonio to Houston, one segment, and this is conventional. This would be 80, 90 miles an hour. Also, another segment between Houston and Dallas, and they're going to reapply for one between San Antonio, Austin, and Dallas-Fort Worth the next time a notice of funding opportunity comes out. There was some misplaced paperwork on that that went to the FRA, so they denied it, but they're still working in the background on planning on that. So there is work going on as far as conventional rail goes, at least in the planning stage. And we've done other plans before. There was the Texas-Oklahoma passenger rail study, and that was done a few years ago. It came out in 2017, I believe. And that was a service-level study. To get to the project level, it's going to take some funding. Of course, that means that we're going to have to be looking at some state funds coupled with federal funds, or maybe some private participation. There actually is one company called Brightline. They operate service between Miami and Orlando, and relatively new, last couple of years. And now they've broken ground between Las Vegas and the L.A. Basin. So there is interest out there. It's just a matter of getting everybody on the same page.
If on the I-35 corridor, and is there room for rail now and in the right-of-way? Could that happen, or does there have to be acquisition of right-of-way? And that seems to be the big problem.
Yeah, you've got a couple of possibilities there, David. You could have TxDOT reserve right-of-way in the corridors, the existing highway corridors, like some states do. Florida did a great job between Cocoa and the Orlando International Airport, working with Brightline alongside that major highway stretch. And they get their trains there up to 125 miles an hour. You also have the possibility of working with the freight rail operators, although it's a little bit harder, and they've got to service their customers. I mean, they have their franchise operators.
They've kind of left us dry and dry before, so I don't know about that.
You know. Yeah. Well, if you bring a pot of money, it might open the door a crack, so you'd have to do that. And the other thing is using right-of-way that's available next to these freight rail operators, or looking at greenfields. I mean, there's many possibilities, but because Austin and San Antonio is growing so fast, that land is drying up for availability.
Right. I do wonder about the window closing on this. I don't know if the Trump administration is going to provide as be as generous as the Biden administration when it comes to trying to develop rail.
Well, there's still some pots of money still left in the infrastructure law. There was $66 billion that was allocated for passenger rail development. Other administrations, other Republican administrations have had outstanding bills as well and pots of money for passenger rail.
Well, it seems clear that Texas needs this, that this will create jobs and economic opportunity. It can be done. It's just, you know, will it be done in time? Peter Licote is the president of the Texas Rail Advocates. Thank you so much for talking to us.
My pleasure, David.
And that's The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted and produced by David Martin Davies. Kayla Padilla is our booking and engagement producer. Engineering support from Ruben Garcia, Jesse Reeves, and Steve Short. Dan Katz is TPR's Vice President of News. The Source is made possible with support from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.